regulators. We regulate any stealing of his property. We're damn good, too. But you can't be any geek off the street. Gotta be handy with the steel, if you know what I mean. Earn your keep.
Regulators! Mount up!
It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. Warren G was on the streets, trying to consume some skirts for the E, so I could get some phones rolling in my ride.
Howdy everybody, Cable Smith, welcome me, each and every one of you, into episode 144 of Justified Pursuit. It's great to be here with you. Riding shotgun, as always, the good counselor, Chisholm Cook. Different backdrop today in the living room instead of your office. I don't know if I like it so much, really. There's like this glare in the background. But
kind of blinding.
Yeah. Anyway, just changing things up. Like, are you okay? What's going on, man?
Am I okay? Yeah, I'm great.
Good.
Just felt I was sitting in here doing some work and it was comfy. And so here I remain. How's that? A little better?
That's better. You got rid of the glare there. But so you're feeling good, even though your Astros are down 2-1 in the ALCS.
Yeah, they were down 2-0 till last night after an 8-5 stomping of your ace. So I'm sitting pretty.
Whoa. Our ace threw 7 innings of shutout ball on Sunday. Max Scherzer hasn't thrown a baseball in a game in over a month. He is not the ace. And when they said, oh, Scherzer's coming back, it's like, okay, good. Then he'll be ready for the World Series, because I expected him to get shelled yesterday. He hasn't thrown a baseball since I think like early September. No, it's been 5 weeks. It's been five weeks. He hasn't pitched in 5 weeks with a forearm strain. I did not expect him. Pitchers rely on routines, and you're not sharp if you haven't thrown in a game in 5 weeks. So he did what I expected him to do. Congratulations, you saved your season. You're still down 2-1. Oh, and you have a losing record at home where the series will eventually go back to. So, I'm glad that you're feeling good.
Yeah, well, we're the best road team in baseball. So it's entirely possible we go home up 3-2. Hold your horses. Simmer down now. There's a lot of baseball.
Unlike you, I am a man of high moral fiber and class. And when the Rangers were up 2-0, did I send a text? Did I gloat one time? No. I didn't say a word about it. Even when we were talking on the phone yesterday about the Cowboys, I didn't even bring up the fact that the Rangers had kicked your ever-loving asses 2 games in a row. When we talked, it was 2-0. It was all doom and gloom. You're still in a very precarious predicament.
Wait, when did I talk crap about winning last night? I don't understand.
No. You didn't. You talked crap. Well, all of a sudden, when Bandwagon Chisholm came out and was like, ooh, watch out for the Astros. Ooh, look who's in first place now. Blah, blah, yada, yada, yada. Uh-huh. Yeah, I didn't say a word about it because I am a man of class. And I didn't want to rub your face in the fact that your precious Astros were down 2-0 in the ALCS to their bitter rival.
Congratulations. You're now up 2-1 against the defending World Series champs. And as I told you privately the other day, I can die happy as an Astros fan knowing that my grandfather, who introduced me to the game at 3 years old and took me to the dome where we chanted Jose Cruz and did the legit wave in a building that was like built for it, got to see both of them. So they never won another one. I'm fine.
They cheated, and true to form, every Astros fan, and this is the thing, and I've come to realize, and I was listening to
they've been to the ALCS 7 times in a row, bro.
Yeah.
Don't give me, I don't need to hear your nonsense about cheating. Okay. 7 straight trips to the ALCS.
Well, I'm just
going to
tell you that your manager was suspended for an entire year. So, also, the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred, came out recently and said, I really screwed up giving them all immunity. They should have been dealt with harshly, and I gave them a free pass. So, and then Houstonians, they rally around it, because when the whole world is saying you guys cheated, it's very easy to say those are our boys, and yeah, well, you know, we don't care, which is basically what you did, as did every Astros fan. So it's kind of become this rallying cry, because everyone knows you cheated.
What do you want us to do? Be like,
I think they should take away the World Series title for one, would be a start.
Listen, what's the point of watching sports?
To cheat, I guess. I don't know.
No.
Like, for, I guess if you're
give
not
me,
cheating,
give me some reason why you bothered to spend waste any of your life watching.
Because we rally around our teams and we get wrapped up in it, and we love, we live and die with every pitch this time of year. It's absurd, but it is the way it is.
Right, but the point,
it's our tribe.
Would you agree that the point is to entertain yourself for 2 to 3 hours at a time, and then accumulate those over the course of a season?
Yeah.
So in 2017, the Astros won a World Series. It came out well after the fact that they were doing some nefarious BS along the way. You can't deny that
Altuve
they had.
Did go change his jersey before his post-game interview after he hit the home run off Chapman. Just throwing that out there. It was pretty. Everyone was kind of like, wait, what? Just why does he not want people to take his shirt off? What's going on? Oh, he has a microphone in there. Okay.
I just said nefarious BS.
Like, I know. I'm just saying what the nefarious BS was. So,
my point is, while that is the case, it came out many months after I got all I needed out of the whole prospect, which was the exhilaration of watching that game play out, watching the last four innings in LA, watching my team. Morton, what was Morton's first name?
Charlie.
Thank you, Charlie Morton. Watching Charlie Morton throw 100-mile-an-hour heater after heater after heater and mow down, I think it was 369, like, because he allowed a hit on his first at bat and then got the out. So I think it was 10 straight batters to seal the deal. And that's a memory that no amount of kvetching, bitching, whining, complaining by the likes of you or anybody else in the country will ever be
all
able to take away from
fans that aren't from
period.
Houston.
Yeah, I don't care.
I know.
Doesn't matter.
You already blown your load before it all came out.
That's right.
Good.
Yeah. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if the shoe was on the other foot and you were in that position, you'd be making the exact same argument.
Oh,
probably. You tried to call me classless. Cable Smith tried to call Chisholm Cook classless. That's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Because I don't gloat when my team's up 2-0 and kicking your butt. Yeah.
You were just
like,
speaking of blowing your load, you were saving it for this phone call is all it was.
I didn't say a word about it.
Yeah.
I called you to talk about the Cowboys, not that the Rangers were up 2-0.
What jersey were the Astros wearing last night?
I don't know.
I don't know because I didn't watch the game. Nor did I watch the game on Sunday, nor did I watch the game on Monday. But I did watch.
And listeners, there is all you need to know about what's really going on.
But I did watch that game 7 in 2017 when Charlie Morton finished out 10 straight batters.
So you don't need much to blow your load is what you're saying. You just need one game of a season. You're fine.
It's a memory I can take to my effing grave.
I'm over here letting my son stay up till 11 o'clock watching the crap for some reason. I don't know.
Good for you. I don't even have cable. I couldn't have watched it if I wanted to.
But yet, you are highly invested Astros fan. Number one fan. Get your foam fingers out.
Okay. Right, you and I have been friends.
Let's move on.
Wait, time out. You and I have been friends since what, like 2000?
Mm-hmm.
We can go a year and a half without seeing each other. And when we hang out, it's like old. Like, we just like. Like putting on an old broken boot, right?
Right.
You got lots of friends in your life like that, childhood friends that maybe you go 2, 3, 4 years without seeing, but it's always that dude.
Yeah,
you
but
know
you and
is
I
there
talk on the phone every week, and we do this show.
That's
but
why
I think part of the reason why we do the show is because we were talking on the phone about the stuff we talk about on the show anyway. It was like we
my
should.
My point
record
is, you undoubtedly have friends in your life that you don't communicate with super regularly, but when you do, it's like they're you
that's
know even if you haven't
with their Astros exactly you don't yeah you kind of just bail
I was
on,
raised but with them, dude. I was raised with them, so they're there for me if I need the entertainment. But just checking in daily on box scores is more than enough, because you know what, dude, I don't have the effing time to watch baseball. I will say the pitch clock, that was a win. That was a good move. The game that I attended in person the other day, back in August, I guess. August. Mm-hmm. It was amazing how fast the game went, especially because, you know, Astros are into the Moneyball thing and all the pitching changes and da-da-da-da-da. And so Astros games had gotten unbearable in terms of being 4 hours long. But either way, I've got a wife and four children. And I was told yesterday by our youth pastor that I am a, how did he put it? High output volunteer at my church. And I run a 110 man organization. I don't have time to sit around and watch baseball or football for that matter. So, but I like to know how they're doing. So, I know yesterday they won 8-5 and they cut your lead from 2-0 to 2-1. So let's see what happens. Are they playing tonight or tomorrow?
I'm not going to tell you. You just look for the box score in the paper.
Google. Right? Get up there.
All right. So also, I mentioned my son. He went to the principal's office for the first time yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And Aaron and I are trying
to... They play today at 7.03 p.m., everybody.
We all know that.
Hank went to the... Hank went to the principal's office.
So, yeah, and... I don't really know if he deserved to be frank. There's these two girls, and this is fifth grade. This is the first I've heard about it. I don't know these girls. They're new. They're both new to the school this year. And they walk around the playground at recess holding hands and kind of disassociate from anyone else. And so apparently two other girls in Henry's class had asked them, or had told people that they were lesbians. A lot of the kids in fifth grade don't know what a lesbian is. Henry does because his aunts are lesbians. And it's not, it's just part of our life. Mm-hmm. So he went up to them and actually asked them, he said, "Are y'all lesbians?" And apparently they went and told somebody. So he got sat down by the assistant principal. She calls Aaron while she's at work yesterday. And Aaron calls me like, "What, you know?" So obviously any parent would be concerned. And was it coming from a place of Henry was making fun of them? Were his buddies getting a laugh about it? And so we sat him down and had a very direct conversation. And he doesn't lie. He's a very open book, the kid. What you see is what you get.
Henry's a very good child. I'm shocked that he... Now that I know the context, I guess I was quite shocked to hear you say he went to the principal's office in general, but now it's...
Yeah. Well, so I have never caught him lying to me. So until he does, I'm assuming that what he is telling me is the truth, right? I don't think you can just assume that your kid's not telling you the truth unless you know that they are, right? That's not fair. Is it?
Sure.
As a parent, right?
Yeah. I mean, so you should be cognizant that at some point they likely will. And
I'm sure he will. And maybe he already here's does.
It's trust but verify, right? The old Reagan line.
Yeah. So so he says, look, and you know, I told him when he got home from school because I didn't know the entire story. I was like, "You're in a lot of trouble, dude." And then I punished him by taking him dove hunting because I was already going dove hunting and he wasn't going to sit at home by himself. And like, yeah, whatever. He enjoyed it. So I don't really think he understood that, you know, you're in trouble. But Aaron and I sat him down and he's like, "Yeah, I didn't."
My wife, who doesn't listen to our show anymore, apparently is quite entertained by just listening to us actually record it. So just FYI, if anybody's hearing giggling in the background, maybe you should listen. Yeah. It would help our numbers. Well, leave a review.
I don't think Aaron's ever listened to one episode. So Ashley, thank you for at least listening in the past.
Right.
So anyway, he says, look, my friends didn't even know I was asking them. So he didn't have an audience. Like he didn't do it out of any other reason than he just was curious. And so Aaron told the assistant principal when she's talking, she said, listen, Henry knows what a lesbian is. And, you know, our family dynamic is that we have lesbians within our family. Well, no, first the assistant principal responded, well, everyone knows a lesbian. And she goes, yeah, but is everyone's aunt married to a woman? Because that's what we've got going on. So he's very well aware of that. And so we just chose to believe that's all he was doing. Although one of his buddies apparently asked the girls also, and that kid is in a lot more trouble than Henry for some reason. Like Henry's punishment is he's going to miss half of recess today, according to the assistant principal. Okay, whatever. This kid, I think, is in more serious trouble. I asked Henry what his buddy did. He said, I don't really know. I don't know. I said, okay, but were you laughing with him or like were y'all giggling about it? No, Dad, it was just something I did on my own. I said, okay. So we just said, you know, we talked about a little bit of, we didn't get into the actual sexual acts associated with any type of relationship. We just said, you know, people love who they love, whatever, you know. But some people can say or believe that that's wrong for two girls to be holding hands. Personally, in fifth grade, I even asked Aaron. I said, well, maybe they are lesbians. Like, maybe it was a warranted question. Certainly, in kindergarten, girls are walking around holding hands, being like grabbing each other, like, come over here and look at this. By fifth grade, that's not normal behavior to be.
Dude, they were doing something different. Mm-hmm. God forbid me for saying weird to fifth graders. And your curious son who has at least some exposure to something that looks like that, mm-hmm. just asked a question.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It left us in this weird situation where at first I was, both of us were kind of fired up being like, yeah, he's going to be in a lot of trouble. He's going to be grounded. And then after that conversation with him last night, it was like, do we even like proceed with punishment here? I don't know
what you're punishing, dude.
Yeah.
Girls are going around holding hands, whether they're intending to draw attention to themselves or not. They are. Your son, like you said, has a married lesbian couple in your, you know, that he's closely related to. And so he knows a little bit about that. And he has to, dude.
I just wanted to make sure he wasn't doing it at their expense so that his friends could get a laugh out of the situation.
I don't think
once I understood that he wasn't doing that, I was like, I don't think we really do anything here. Other than say, hey, maybe be cognizant that that could make someone feel uncomfortable. And also, we did say, Henry, if they're new kids at the school, maybe be extra nice to them because they probably don't have a lot of friends. So,
dude, maybe he thought he was.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, like, this is just, you know, if the school doesn't want questions like that, maybe they should instruct the girls to stop walking around holding hands.
Well, and then my wife said,
I blame the school. I blame the culture. Hmm. Can I say I kind of blame? No, never mind. Not going to go
so there. Aaron did say, well, she said to me, well, if he went up to a boy and a girl holding hands and asked if they were boyfriend, girlfriend, he wouldn't have been in trouble. So
exactly.
That's what
exactly. Right. So where's the harm here? Where was the root of the, I guess, malice, right? If he had said to her exact point, are y'all girlfriends?
Yeah.
Would he have gone to the principal or is it because he used the word lesbian? Yeah. Because that level of new speak mind control, certainly something on my heart at the moment. And it's unfair.
Yeah. Well, just wanted to throw that some out cool there. On this one. You never want to get a call from the school, but then it's kind of play it out in your mind and talk to your kid. And it's like, well, it seems like an overreaction. So whatever.
Yep. Seems like an overreaction.
Middle East tensions are looking pretty good. And Jamal Fire Alarm Bowman says that we should give Palestinian refugees a nice place to come to America. What do you think about that?
I think
the Republicans had a pretty good response to it.
I didn't see the response. I think Jamal Bowman probably ought to be in jail.
No, call him by his name. Fire Alarm Bowman. Probably ought to be in jail. Well, so the Republicans' response was to pass the Gaza Act in Congress, which will prevent the Biden administration from bringing in Palestinian refugees. You know why? Because how do you
it won't or because
not?
It'll
want
never
to kill us.
It won't do that because it'll never make it to Biden's desk because it can't possibly pass the Senate.
I mean, you're correct, but that was their response. Is
right,
but it's.
I thought without a. Well, I guess they have a.
Do we live in where you have to do something like that to protect yourself from? I mean, I guess I'm just going to call Biden a predator. I mean, he likes to sniff kids, and he's apparently totally cool with opening up America to terrorist attacks.
He
look
totally,
at the dudes coming across.
He totally molested a lady named Tara. What's her name? She's got the same name as that actress from the 90s.
Reed?
Yeah. You don't know about that?
Mm-mm.
You don't know who Tara Reid is?
Well, I know the actress from like.
No, but there was an aide in his Senate office back in the 90s who claims to this day that he reached up her skirt and fondled her. And the thing is, there's an audio tape of her mother calling in, I think, to Larry King Live to mm-hmm. share her daughter's story anonymously. Back in like 1998. So, you know, unlike E. Jean Carroll, the lady who claims that Trump assaulted her in a department store.
Oh, she's the one where they changed the law and they were the first.
Right. And they changed the statute of limitations law so she could sue him. Her claim didn't come out for 17 years, which happened to be the year that he was running for president. Mm-hmm. Unlike her, this gal had shared it with her mother, who shared it on Larry King Live in the late 90s. But and actually his vice president brought it up on a debate stage, but you know, Me Too, dust that under the rug.
So not the hot Tara Reid from the 90s, 2000,
right.
Early
no
2000.
Who's not hot anymore, by the way.
No, she went
way off the rails.
That rode hard and put away wet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A lot of botched plastic surgery and way too much booze and pills.
Yeah. So anyway, they did try to get this Gaza Act going. But yeah, he's not gonna pass a bill that will prevent him from importing terrorists. And I was just talking to a mutual friend of ours that lives in Montana, you know, about this stuff right before we got on this phone call. We were started out as talking elk hunting and then devolved into political stuff, but he believes the same thing that we've come to believe, that it's no longer about votes and it's just about chaos, and that if there's enough chaos, then they can basically force you into a police state control. So it was refreshing to hear just, you know, someone that I have not discussed that type of stuff with previously come to the same resolution that we have.
Ashley just pointed out that your son was a victim of exactly that. This LGBTQ chaos and confusion led him to ask an innocent question that got him in trouble.
Yeah, I believe that's probably what happened.
So, I mean, this is deeply true, and you can actually find scriptural support for this concept. From chaos comes the creation of a new world, right? Genesis 1, boom, right off the bat. In the beginning was a chaotic void, and from that God created an ordered universe, right? Marxists know that first, and our CIA knows, every color revolution they've ever executed all across the globe since the 50s, they begin by sowing chaos, by stirring up the populace with disinformation in their media, whip everybody into a chaotic frenzy, which creates, okay, watch any old movie about ancient warfare like Braveheart, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what you always see in an old battle like that is two lines of, you know, lines of ranks across a battlefield, right? And one side has to pierce the other, it into pieces, and
when
create.
When Braveheart came out, I was like 13. I never made it past like the first 15 minutes, because that's where like you see the first naked woman, and then you just freeze frame that, right?
You've actually seen the whole movie then, surely, right? For a second,
dude, it's like one of my favorite movies of all time. I'm being facetious, but that was like one of the first times I was like, oh, boobies.
Right. Well, the point is the first orderly rank, the first army to break rank and turn to chaos, because that's the one that loses and something new is created at that point. You know, someone has taken over, whatever it would be. Marxists know that first they must sow chaos in order to execute their revolution and replace the status quo with their utopia.
Here's the weird
thing. That's where we are
on that.
Chaos all everywhere.
But this is the interesting thing. When you point that out, which and I believe it is unequivocally true, America wasn't so bad, man. It was the best country in the world. It wasn't like we're living in some third world, you know, barrio. This is the greatest country on the planet. Mm-hmm. Why destroy it? It doesn't, even if you were like a little, if you were impoverished in America, you're still living a better life than the rest of the world, by and large. 95% of the rest of the world.
Yeah, it's a lack of
gratitude. Why
do we have to
destroy something that was beautiful, amazing, the best?
Because the people who want the revolution have no gratitude, and they have no perspective. And most importantly, the reason they have neither of those things is because they have no God.
Which God gives you hope,
gratitude, hope, purpose, meaning, grace. Right. I think I've explained on this show, right, that the Marxist ideology is literally an antichrist, anti-Christian ideology, because it's based on vengeance versus grace.
How does, and this is a tough question to ask, but how does a Democrat, someone that votes that way, rationalize their faith? To me, I just don't understand. Like, there's so many horrible things that that party stands for and continues to do.
First and foremost, they're completely ignorant to the reality of it.
I know people that vote blue that are Christians, and like,
yeah, I know, but they really don't understand. Nice, they don't. But my point is, they don't know what the hell they're voting for. They're voting for the emotional manipulation, which, dude. When Jesus went into the desert and battled Satan for 40 days, what did Satan use against him?
Temptation.
And? Scripture.
Right.
Right? So Satan was spouting scripture, and only because Jesus had a perfect grasp and understanding of scripture and God's will was he able to thwart Satan's scripture with the proper scripture. Right? The point being, the devil uses truth. The devil, the Marxists use truth to manipulate people, half truth, right? The roots of truth, right? So, like we've always talked about, there are people who are oppressed. We should find ways to lift up the poor, the needy, you know, the alien, the orphan, the widow, right?
Well, that's what Jesus taught us.
Right. And the Marxists know how to manipulate that in such a way where they have people who vote for the feels because they don't have the attention span, the wherewithal, the understanding of how government works and what's really going on in DC to understand how all of that manifests into policy. They're voting for feelings. They're not voting for policies. That's the answer to your question. They think, because they've been manipulated emotionally, that the Democrats are probably more Christian because they sound like they're more caring. What they don't realize, like when the time I educated my sister on the homelessness crisis in Austin, is that all the homelessness crisis is, again, is sheer chaos that Democrats can throw billions of dollars at that don't solve the problem. They line the pockets of the fat cats who voted for the spending in the first place.
Correct.
Blew her mind. Correct. She totally got it once I pointed it out. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they actually, oftentimes, they either, as Rahm Emanuel said, never let a crisis go to waste, or they fabricate a crisis that they can throw money at and pretend to be trying to solve, and the money just circulates back around to the guys who spent it, and all of their big donors get rich, and the problem continues, and they get to do that in perpetuity. Got to keep throwing money at the problem.
Yeah.
And the average American doesn't understand any of that. They're too, part of it is human nature is to be generally trusted.
Wait, I think that's too high of a, if you say the average, that makes me think more than 50%. Don't you think more than 50% of the population is educated on this stuff?
No.
Huh.
No, I don't think more than, no.
Okay. Well, so do you think that people that vote blue and are Christians, is there any hesitancy when they submit that ballot? And they're like, transgendering kids is not that great, but I'm just going to send it anyway. Or does is it like, or are they, like you said, are they so naive that they don't, that doesn't even cross their mind?
I think there are plenty who don't even know. Dude, there are still people in this country who don't really even know the transgender thing is real. If they're aware the transgender thing is happening, they don't believe, they think it's right wing. I mean, because the Democrats are saying this, right? The Democrats are trying to claim that there aren't biological males kicking the shit out of women in sports.
And Gavin Newsom,
we know there are.
The kids just want to live.
Right.
Well, yeah,
right.
And so, they live with this corrupt mind because you've indoctrinated them.
Right. So there are Christians who, dude, the other thing too is there are so many Christians who don't have enough of a grasp of the damn.
That was ironic.
Forgive me, Lord, for I have sinned. Who don't have enough of a grasp of the Bible. Glad I checked that before I finished that statement. There are plenty of Christians who don't have enough of a grasp of the Bible. Dude, I mean, I've got friends who just refuse to even acknowledge the parts of the Bible that point out that homosexual acts are sins, who refuse to point out that, you know, St. Paul taught that, you know, men should be the teachers in the church, right? Like on and on and on, right? There are things in the Bible that are tough to confront.
I listened to a podcast recently that pointed out on that front, because a guy was on stage. I don't know who he was, but he has this weird thing that he does like this. I don't know if he's famous or what, but
by the way, Cable made a face like he was trying, like a horse chewing an apple, I guess.
No, he had like a weird tick where he opens his mouth. The MC asked him about women leadership, and he said, well, don't we have to go? Isn't this over? He said, end at 7:10. He obviously didn't want to answer the question. He was joking. So, well, in Paul's letter to Timothy, he's talking about Timothy's church, because there were women there that were being false prophets. Because in some of Paul's other letters, he is not specific about that. So that's how he sussed it out, was in this instance, Timothy, you need to get these women out of here, out of the church. They are undermining the church. They are, polluting it. They're toxic. Get them out. But he said that was a specific instance. I know.
Except that he specifically said, I don't allow women to teach men. Not just in their church. Paul said, this is my approach.
Do you have women leaders in your church?
We do.
Okay, so then how do those two things coexist for you?
Tension. I don't know. I mean, I'm also a father of four girls, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I have my wife standing here across the counter from me, and I learn from her all the time. So,
Is Paul wrong? he's looking at his wife. She's probably glaring at him, waiting for this answer.
And like, we are the opposite for a reason, and it is not a bad thing that women are able to speak into men and then allow the men to be that authority. That is the worldly way of making us feel inferior to create more chaos. But that is by God's design that we are different, and it's not our role to be out there in the authority. It's not our role to pick up the gun and go and protect my man. That's your damn job.
Did you hear all that?
I heard
it. Need to take the mic.
No, I heard her.
She should take it and then just drop it, because bang.
I'll increase the volume level there so everyone good. Can hear that. But you still attend a church where women are leaders. So how do we... Maybe that's just the world we live in now, and where that's the norm. And
so
going to be hard-pressed to find a church in your community where that isn't accepted.
Let me say one.
Here's the thing. When I was a kid, before you do that, when we had a woman preacher at my church, I tried to bail on that service. Like, I just was so disinterested. I really liked my pastor at the time, and it wasn't specific to women. The associate pastor, same thing. I was like, either trying to take a nap or trying to sneak out the back, because I was just not invested in it. And that hasn't changed in my adult life. If Tommy Brummett is not preaching on Sunday, more often than not, I'm bailing and going to the contemporary service. If I see it, if I actually look at the bulletin, I'm like, oh, Tommy's out of town. I'm getting out of here. Hasn't changed.
A woman preacher drove my mother out of the church, who we've well documented is, you know, fairly woke these days, I think would probably identify as a feminist. In my church, to your point, we have, I think, five pastors now? We have three male pastors and then two ordained lady pastors.
Uh-huh.
Those two almost never preach.
They are dealing with the women.
Right. Their primary role in leadership is related to our women's ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Right. One is in charge of finance. One is in charge, or at least currently, yeah, she's sort of over women's ministry and children. And so every now and then they'll preach. We have there's been one or two other ladies, a pastor's wife, who has sort of co-preached a sermon. When we have had women step up to preach, which is very rare, and I mean like less than a handful of times a year, their sermons have generally stood around exactly what my wife just said. We don't have a woman that I know of at my church who would not say it's the men's job to lead. But women can come alongside. Women can come along and bring the feminine perspective to the conversation, right? In the times where we've had women give a sermon, it's usually from that perspective, encouraging men to have balls and lead and encouraging their women to come along beside, behind, you know, however you, all points to help the men lead while kind of giving that feminine perspective to the conversation. So I think, to your point, my church is doing a pretty good job of balancing that. There's and I think to the point of that you're making about Paul, that's why he said, I don't let women teach or / lead the men. He didn't say anything about letting them teach and lead the children. He didn't say anything about letting them teach and lead the other children. And he didn't say that they don't have a role in the congregation and in helping men see things from their perspective, right? But to your point, you look across the country, find me a church that's got a woman lead pastor that's not like hanging rainbows outside, right? We have one. Well, I know there's that one in Florida that is all for, I think it's a Lutheran Episcopal. I don't remember which one.
When I was a kid, we didn't even have women deacons. And then like when I was in high school, they voted to allow it. So that just is an example of times continue to change. And whether it's good or bad, I don't know. But like you have two women pastors.
Here's where I would
50 years ago, that was heresy.
Having a woman's voice contributing is very valuable and important. Having the woman's voice be the ultimate authority is very, I mean, she's so awesome. It comes down to, she's Ashley pointed out, she said you'd have everything based on emotion, right? I mean, that's the reality.
Well, they are the mother hen.
If women didn't vote in America, the Democrats wouldn't win a single election at a national level ever. And that's a statistical verifiable fact. Right.
Oh, well, that's why if it was a fair election, Trump lost, is because he lost the woman vote.
It's not a negative thing to point out that women are generally more wired to be emotional and men are more wired to be logic and reason oriented. One, if you only have one of those two things, you're doomed for destruction. Too much logic, too much reason. Too much science without any compassion, without any empathy, leads you to like what happened in Nazi Germany or do you know about the atrocities the Japanese committed against the Chinese during World War II?
I've certainly heard about them.
All we know about is that what the Nazis did, the Japanese were worse. Suffice it to say worse. They were doing experiments where they would use like liquid nitrogen to freeze some Chinese guy's arm and then beat it with a hammer and shatter it into pieces just to see what would happen. That's a fact, right? That's what logic, reason, scientific, you know, interest, et cetera, it can lead you to eugenics, right? We can engineer a better society for the greater good, right? You balance, that's why the perfect, that's why the godly union is a man and a woman coming together as one, right? Because you need logic and reason and you need emotion. You need a certain amount of order, but you also need a certain amount of chaos because, again, from chaos comes creation, right? You can't have too much order. You can't have too much chaos. You need some balance in between. So that's why, you know.
What about women in politics, since we're trying to alienate any of our female audience today?
If there are any women that listen.
But yet we have one in the background who's chiming in that, hey, I want my man to be the leader. That's what he was designed to do. I'm here to aid him. And when he veers off the path, get his ass back on it.
If there is a woman.
I was a wild man. You know that. My wife settled me down. Like,
same here. That's my point, right? They're there to help temper us. Absolutely. And to your point, I think if St. Paul was asked that specific question, he'd come up with a little bit more nuance to it. That's the other thing, too, is we have his letters. We don't have any other conversations that he had with those individuals where there was more of a dialogue. If there's a woman listening to episode 144 of this show, my guess is we're not chasing her off. She probably talks like Ash.
Well, let's listen to what I believe a female leader sounds like. This is Sarah Huckabee.
Announcing that Syngenta, a Chinese state-owned agrochemical company, must give up its land holdings in Arkansas. Syngenta owns 160 acres in northeast Arkansas, which it uses primarily for seed research. The company that owns Syngenta, ChemChina, is also on the Department of Defense's list of Chinese military companies posing a clear threat to our state. Seeds are technology. Chinese state-owned corporations filter that technology back to their homeland, stealing American research and telling our enemies how to target American farms. That is a clear threat to our national security and to our great farmers, especially since the Chinese government enacted a law in 2017 requiring Chinese citizens abroad to collaborate with their country's security officials on intelligence work with no questions asked. This isn't about where you're from. We welcome Chinese Americans, Russian Americans, and anyone else who's given up foreign oppression for American freedom. This is about where your loyalties lie.
I think that should be enacted in all 50 states. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, I like it. I think I want to make sure something is very clear.
Citizens should be allowed to own land. Businesses from foreign entities that are our enemies. I think we got to draw the line somewhere.
Women can be leaders. Women should have a role in the leadership of society at a macro or micro level, as long as they are scripturally based, God-fearing women who don't let themselves be wholly ruled by emotion, who will take the counsel of a man earnestly, who are not feminazis who think men's day has come and gone, right? But who look to men for leadership and balancing out of their perspectives. And right now there is a vacuum of male leadership in many aspects of society. It's only natural that it's going to be filled by women, and the ones like her that are ready to fill it. Bravo, madam. And I'll say this, I'm trying to raise four daughters who understand all that. Understand that God made men and women with different strengths and different weaknesses, and that's why the perfect union is the two coming together. You know, I think that they're going to be warriors for Christ, but I know that they're going to look for a man who leads from the front, and they're going to be there to support, walk alongside of, and advise. And when push comes to shove, defer. Push comes to shove is not a great metaphor in the context of men and women. When the rubber meets the road. I mean, that's how my wife and I have even before either one of us could articulate any of what we just said, because we weren't scripturally grounded like we are now. You know, we've always been believers, but we haven't always been educated adequately and trying to follow the Holy Spirit every day. But even in that time in our marriage, we would talk about things and, you know, I would get her perspective. When we had a difference of opinion, at the end of the day, she would follow me. Right. For example, in 2008, a year after I graduated from law school, I was working for my old man. I passed the bar during that year. Right. And I got a job offer with the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality to be an attorney in the environmental division, environmental law division. And at the time we were living in Portland, my parents were a walk away. Her parents were a 10-minute car ride away. And we were 5 months pregnant with Riley. And the thought of moving away from all of that support scared the crap out of Ashley. And she was, I mean, really, really intimidated by it, man, like crying that night. I got a job offer. I may have shared this before. And I was told you have to decide by 5 o'clock today. Have I shared this with you before?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the reason was because my lazy ass former future boss at the time had waited until day 119 when there's a law in Texas that says if you wait 120 days to fill a bureaucratic position, you lose funding for it. Because obviously if it takes you 4 months to get off to S or get off the pot, then you don't need the position, right?
Right.
Which is why I walked in and had nothing to do. But the point is he was going to fill the job by 5 o'clock, whether I took it or not. And at the end of the day, as anxious and concerned and in tears as she was about it, said, we have to go, Ash. I can't stay here working for Dad. I got to go start a real career. And, you know, I think she would agree now it was the best move we ever made. Because, first of all, it did start us on a journey to where we are today. It also showed her that she's strong enough to raise this family without having parents 5 minutes away.
Right.
You know, and yeah,
sometimes you got to take the leap of faith.
Yep. But my point is
the same thing with me when we moved to Texarkana, literally packed up. We got back from our honeymoon, packed up a U-Haul and moved to Texarkana.
But she was concerned and right. She was concerned and intimidated. And I was bold and aggressive and she deferred to me. Mm. Right. Which I'm
we
sure
weren't
is,
pregnant, so that was a little right. bit different.
But, yeah.
So we heard what a woman leader sounds like. Let's listen to what one doesn't sound like.
We all watched the television coverage of just yesterday. That's on top of everything else that we know and don't know yet. Based on what we've just been able to see, and because we've seen it or not doesn't mean it hasn't happened. But just limited to what we have seen.
What? What did we just listen to? I don't understand. Nobody understands. Can you interpret that? Can anyone interpret that?
She's on drugs. The lady is, dude, you can hear it in her voice. She's clearly dosed up. I think she takes an irresponsibly high like dosage of some sort of SSRI or something.
Mm-hmm.
Two martini something. Lunches in addition to the SSRI. That lady's on drugs. She's high all the time.
Now, here is another.
She's also
one.
An idiot. She's not smart. She's dumb.
If anyone, everyone knows that was our vice president by this point. This is a woman speaking. That has little to do with it. For me, this is just an example. The next clip I'm going to play.
How did we slip into like the most sexist and misogynist episode of the history of Justified?
I think this episode is actually celebrating women. This is celebrating women because women are amazing and deserve to be celebrated.
Ashley
and we would be lost without them. Right? That's all I have to say about it. So this is I believe New York Congresswoman. City. Hold on, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to turn the volume down. I got to figure out how to use this phone again. But Massachusetts town counselor curses constituent for asking questions about forced vaccinations. And this just is an example of how they become unhinged when the actual truth doesn't match their narrative. And then they point at you and say, you are a predator. Listen to this exchange. This is incredible.
You represent I do not represent the job that pays my family's food.
Thank you. Have a nice night.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you for your attention to this matter.
Good thing no one in town likes you.
Go eat some ice cream.
Yeah. Why don't you go fuck yourself? Can we have the police here so this guy doesn't attack any of us? If he's going to be here, I am not. I'm done with this shit and him.
So she's in a council room. It's very formal. You know, there's a person with a gavel. And when she said that, the guy next to her goes, oof. And then she followed it up with saying, can we get the police in here so that he doesn't attack any of us? All the guy said was, okay, thank you. And he said, go eat some ice cream, you know, when she was picking up her stuff. And that's when she said, go F yourself. I'm done with this S. And then basically said, this guy's going to attack us.
What was the subject of the...
So he was talking... So the subject was the fire department in this Massachusetts town was forced to take vaccinations. She was a proponent of requiring them to take the vaccinations. And that was his question, which she completely deviated into some other thing about feeding her family, blah, blah, blah. And then you heard him say, well, thanks for your attention on this matter. And yeah, that's when all hell broke loose. I thought that was funny. Anyway, worth a listen. I don't know why all of the clips today are from the women's, but here is another one. And this is one that you never thought you were going to hear, which when I heard this, I was like, wow, validation for the last 3 years. Alberta Premier Danielle Smith. I don't know if you've heard this or not. I wish more of this would come out. I don't think it will, especially not from our commander and chief.
The community that faced the most restrictions on their freedoms in the last year were those who made a choice not to be vaccinated. I don't think I've ever experienced a situation in my lifetime where a person was fired from their job or not allowed to watch their kids play hockey or not allowed to go visit a loved one in long-term care or hospital, or not allowed to go get on a plane to either go across the country to see family or even travel across the border. So they have been the most discriminated against group that I've ever witnessed in my lifetime. That's a pretty extreme level of discrimination that we have seen. I don't take away any of the discrimination that I've seen in those other groups that you mentioned, but this has been an extraordinary time in the last year in particular. And I want people to know that I find that unacceptable, that we are not going to create a segregated society on the basis of a medical choice.
Ever think you'd hear that from that level of government official? And you know Trudeau had to be cringing when he heard this.
That was somebody in Canada?
That was the premier of Alberta, like their governor.
Right. Yeah, Alberta is one of the conservative states up there.
Like the last bastion of hope for Canada. Yeah.
Relatedly, seen what Moderna and Pfizer stock looks like these days?
I bet it looks like my marijuana stocks.
I don't know how bad they're doing. But yeah, so
to say I'm upside down on them would be a gross understatement.
Mm.
One of them actually flatlined. It has no value and it's never coming back. The company went bankrupt. Mm. So yeah,
that's a tough one, pal. Mm-hmm. On December 17th of 2021, so coming up on 2 years ago, Pfizer hit what looks like an all-time high of $59.48.
Well,
what do you think they're at this moment on October 19th?
I would conservatively guess they're at 25% of that.
They haven't plummeted that much. They are at $31.23. Keep in mind that Pfizer sells the little blue pill and lots of other products, right? So, yeah. But to your point, that's a
flu shot.
They're at what, 60%? Yeah, they're at 60, right roughly at 60%.
As we played 2 weeks ago, Travis Kelce, Mr. Pfizer, saying, get 2-in-1, get your flu shot and your COVID vaccine. So Pfizer, obviously.
What a douchebag, dude.
I wonder what percentage of the population after everything that's happened still wants to go out and get a flu shot. And now I'm not saying don't do that. I am not saying don't go get your flu shot. Our family's not doing it. We weren't really.
I am. You don't
we
need
really
it.
Doing it. We weren't doing it before. It. We're certainly not doing it now.
Everything's fine. You don't need it unless you're in your 60s and above. Same as this thing. The on December 23rd of last year, they were at almost $52. So they're down 40% just in less than a year. 40%.
What about their buddies Moderna?
Moderna is much more aligned with your guess. September 10th of 2021, they hit an all-time high of $449.38.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind, dude, so obviously the market cap, meaning the total value of Pfizer at $30 or at their all-time high of $60, there's so many more shares on the market. Moderna at $450 doesn't mean it was worth more than Pfizer, right? It's the number of shares. Mm-hmm. But either way, $450 on September 10th of 2021, they are at $82.68.
So less than 25%.
Less than 25%. Collapsed.
The point here is buy now before the next pandemic when it goes back up.
Sure. Yeah, that'd be a good idea, right? BioNTech, similar collapse from a high water mark of just shy of $4 to right at $93.19. Where did let's see what that AstraZeneca.
That one like kills people, so probably not doing very good.
Stock.
Oh wait, well, that's the one that AstraZeneca.
AstraZeneca is like our J&J shot.
Yeah, it's banned in Europe. Pretty sure multiple countries, maybe if not all of the European Union, banned AstraZeneca.
Well, that was their version of the J&J. But they're actually not looking so bad. Their high water mark, again, they make a whole lot of stuff, was 75.60 in April of this year, and they're at 65.06. So they're pretty much their stock just trends up. But again, they're like way bigger than just those shots. What's Johnson?
But Johnson & Johnson makes like baby powder and stuff like that.
I bet they have a pharmaceutical. I wonder if they're pharmaceutical.
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it's just Johnson & Johnson. Where are they at? Yeah, they're pretty steady. That's a pretty well high water mark in January of this year of 180 down to 152. So anyway, yeah, the ones that just do mRNA, it's not looking good. Anyway, that's our, I actually Googled this morning. I Googled boosters this morning and found lots of articles saying that the CDC is failing, has to revamp their message because booster uptake is terrible.
Nobody's doing it.
It's all about messaging. People. They're just not selling it well enough. They need to sell it better. Not giving young boys myocarditis would probably be a really helpful selling point.
That would be a start.
Good luck with that.
French President Emmanuel Macron has called for all radical Islamist migrants residing in France to be removed from the country in the wake of the suspected Islam-inspired assassination of a middle school teacher on Friday. They apparently have over 20,000 S files, not all which remain active, but there are at least 489 known extremists in those files that they're going to try to expel from the country. Reflection. Sounds like he's putting French people first. I wish our country would do the same. America last. That's Biden's motto.
So I think I shared a couple weeks ago that No Agenda suspects that about this time, probably less than a year from now, we'll be engulfed in some sort of migrant-based sort of race wars in this country. Akin to the summer of Floyd, where The two sides and the migrants are all like, you know, protesting, maybe some rioting, creating max chaos.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should keep a close eye on what Mr. Macron's actions precipitate in France. I'd also love to know where they are in their elections. I know that these parliamentary governments have that weird ability to just call an election. They don't have like regular elections like we do. They're
see Trudeau.
Right. Let's see. Let's look that up. I don't have much time left, by the way. When is the next French?
While you're doing that, also a quick hitter here. Clemson students marched on campus last week after tampons were removed from the men's bathrooms. Did you see that?
I did. I heard about it.
There's no hope for this country, Chisholm. Well, I mean, at least Clemson took the tampers out of the men's room. Why they ever put the tampers in there, beyond me.
Yeah, because they're.
I wonder what inspired them to renege on that promise to the trainees.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you, the tide is it's coming back our way, man. It's coming back our way. That's happening. Like, I marked that down. I don't know the timeline. I don't know how it'll play out, but people are over that nonsense. I mean, the Tavistock Clinic in the UK already shut down. It's only a matter of time before leftists in this country, moderate Democrats, I should say, finally have the balls to put their foot down and say, this is not working. This is not good. So apparently the next French presidential election or parliament election is June 9th of 2024. So this is perfect. They will be, 5 months before us? So let's see what this move by Macron precipitates in France. I bet, and I think we're going to have to look for it, because I bet we're not going to get a lot of news about this. We're going to have to look to alternative sources. But I bet you see some immigration-based unrest there that creates some chaos. And if so, then you can bet your bottom dollar that by September, October next year, we're going to have some of the same hell going on here.
And I don't see how we can't, man.
That will help in major cities drive people to vote by mail, right? Because who wants to go out and vote if there's rioting in the streets?
It's unsafe.
You have the option to vote by mail.
Democrats.
Yeah.
Why do we make it unsafe? So you could mail in your ballot.
Yep.
One of the many reasons, but yeah. That's what, I mean, yes, chaos is certainly a crutch for mail-in ballots. No doubt about that.
Opportunity for the Machiavellian, power-hungry, not just leftists, both sides.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, let's be fair.
But then again, if you're a power-hungry, big government Republican, then you're not actually a Republican. So, you know.
Two more quick notes, and then we'll go. Biden announced this week he plans to ask Congress for $100 billion in Ukraine and Israel aid. So,
there you go.
He knows that Americans are tired of spending money on Ukraine.
That's right.
But now we're going to just say, well, it's for Ukraine and our friends over in Israel.
And you don't get the latter without the former. That's the
deal.
Key to that.
You got to fight these wars, folks.
Yep.
And then the last thing is a Stanford instructor last week made Jewish students stand in a corner while delivering a rant belittling the genocide of millions of Jews in the Holocaust, celebrating the attacks of Hamas on Israel. The instructor has been suspended.
Hey, hot dog.
Yeah. It was an African-American instructor that was putting white Jewish people in the corner. So what is it called? What is Hebrew Mekskindi's book, How to Be an Anti-Racist?
Anti-racism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Woo. Anti-Semitic, anti-racism.
That's the world we live in. That is the world we live in. And you look and you turn on, I don't watch the news, but I look at social media and you see all these Taliban flags marching in American streets now. Who would have thought from 9/11 to today that would ever be a thing? And it's just brainwashed, misled youth is all it is.
Right. The good thing is, have you seen all these billionaires pulling funding from these? Have you seen all these billionaires pulling funding from these Ivy League schools because of their acquiescence to these wild ass leftists defending the violence being perpetrated in the name of decolonization? Harvard lost, dude. I don't remember how many tens of millions. There's a billionaire family. That was the primary backer of the Kennedy School of Business at Harvard that pulled funding, disassociated their relationship this week because Harvard is protecting the anti-Israeli, pro-Palestinian murder students on campus. And then the same thing is happening at UPenn, which is also an Ivy League school.
Yeah. Why is it that this so-called highest levels of education found at these Ivy League colleges is where this type of stuff emanates, seems to be?
That goes back to Herbert Marcuse, the German Jewish Marxist who fled Nazi Germany in the late 40s and came over to Columbia University and literally started the American version of identity politics based socialism.
It's hard to get into these schools. So theoretically, the most intelligent people in the field are the ones that are so easily duped into this garbage.
Yeah, well, I got to go, but I can wrap this up with one thought. Professors in general think they're smarter than the average American, and they make, in comparison to their own perception of their own intellect, they never get rich, right? So they have built-in animosity and resentment towards people who like drop out of college and become billionaires like Bill Gates, right? They think they should run the world. They have the same mentality of Woodrow Wilson, the most destructive, evil president in American history, whose name was on the School of International Policy at Yale until 2 years ago, who is the top eugenicist in American history and the father of modern day progressivism, right? They think they should be allowed to master plan the world, just like Liz Warren, who herself was a Harvard professor, who loves to roll out,
hard Indian,
six foot stacks of paper saying, here's my plan for this, because I can plan our way into utopia, right? That's what they think. They don't have God. By and large, they're too damn intellectual to accept the fact that something created everything around them, including themselves. Their God is themselves. Their God is their own intellect. With the vacuum where God and Jesus and grace belongs, they fill it with resentment for the fact that they're not rich. Mm-hmm. And so it is the perfect breeding ground for Marxist ideology. I got to go.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for episode 144 of Justified Pursuit for Chisholm Cook. I'm Cable Smith saying, beat those dirty dog cheating Astros. Go Rangers, and we'll see you next time.
We love you, ladies.
And
we need you.